Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Thanks for being my friend. You are my friend, aren't you? I hope so. I hope you are, because I'm your friend. I'm working hard out here to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful, and that's what we do here every day. Every day we work on helping you to get a little smarter, to have a little better attitude, to be a little more motivated. And one of the ways we do that is by introducing you to some really smart people, like our good buddy Stephen Baum, ladies and gentlemen. Stephen is an outstanding entrepreneur. He's a CEO coach extraordinaire. He is an author virtually without peer. His book is called Jack Welch, but I think more than all those things, he's our friend. Stephen, back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you back. I'm not being too presumptuous to call you a friend, am I, Stephen?
Not at all. We've now known each other a few years, and I treasure the time with you, and I think you're doing some really good work for small business owners, and Lord knows all of the small business owners need help right now.
Yeah, you're exactly right, and they're so... I'll tell you something, Stephen. There's more... It's more... What you and I do, helping small business owners, keeping them, trying to do what we can to keep them motivated. And of course, you and I are small business owners too. We're doing this to ourselves as well. But I can't think of a time in our history, Stephen, when all of us trying to do this for each other is more important. Because I'll tell you something, Stephen, the solution to our problems is not going to lie with the government. The solution to what we've got going on right now is going to depend on each and every one of us. And we need to get that into our head real quick, don't you think?
You know, you already know I belong to an organization called Vistage, which has 15,000 business owner members who help each other. And it's an unusual culture. They're predisposed to help each other. And there's a network of emails that flies back and forth every day. And if I'm smart about anything, I'm smarter because I learn from my CEOs and business owners in my group and from the net. And what I see happening is that power of community coming to bear, both in tangible things like ideas for what you do in this economy, as well as helping each other through tough times. There have been a lot of emails lately about anxiety attacks, and I can tell you now, that the only thing that removes all your options is panic.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Have you seen an increased intensity in the relationships of the people that you work with in the last 6, 8 months, 12 months?
Absolutely. People are reaching out much more intensely to connect with others, both fellow business people, but also across sort of the functional lines to their own customers, to their own suppliers. The kinds of relationships that are happening now, it isn't just the business owner who's having the issues, it's their customer and their supplier. Everybody's in this. And the more they can draw the envelope, not just around themselves, but around other companies and figure out things together, the better they are.
You know, Stephen, I don't mean to pick on anybody, but I think our politicians need to learn what your members know and what my audience knows, and that's that the way we get out of this is not by more regulations, not by more spending, but it's by appealing to our better angels, as someone once said. And I hope that our president will get the idea, will finally get the idea that he needs to quit campaigning, and he needs to start focusing on our better angels. If he would look into the camera and say, small business owners, you are one of the biggest keys to our solution. do what you do best and keep doing it, because you're going to help pull us out. If he could appeal to those, to that kind of a better angel in all of us, that's the kind of that's the kind of information we need right now, isn't it?
Well, you're on a sort of a hot button for me. It's a combination of what you just said, but also being the living example of ethics, of integrity, of we're going to do this the right way. And he's not off to a very good start with the appointments in that respect.
Yeah.
And there aren't enough there aren't enough examples yet that he really means what he said during the campaign, and that he's going to do some house cleaning and keep this as fair as he can. There, a fellow by the name of Robert
The administration is young. He's got time to learn. I mean, he's got some learning to do. I hope he gets it. I think he will, but I hope he gets busy. 20 till, stay with us. Right back with Stephen Baum. Don't go away. I'll be right back. We're back with 17 till on Jim Blessingame, Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll go there and check it out and use it to your advantage. I think you'll find something you like there. If you got, and it doesn't matter how much time you got. If you got 5 seconds, we got something. If you got 1 minute, 3 minutes, 15 minutes, you want to read, you want to listen, we got something for you there. And all you got to do is decide what's on your mind and go look for it. It's right there. We'll help you. And don't forget to check out my blog. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And my knowledge base is there also, askjim.biz. You can also find out about the body of work that Stephen Baum has deposited with us over the years. And in the interviews he's done with us and the information he's provided us. Also remind you, his book is called What Made Jack Welch Jack Welch. And Stephen is here to talk to us. We're still talking about what's it going to take to get ourselves out of this national, really global funk that we're in right now, Stephen. We got a global situation going on. Can America's small businesses actually make a dent in the global troubles we got?
My belief is that there's nobody else who can really make a dent in that. It is up to small business.
Yeah,
The government can put a floor on how bad things get with state and local government employees, that sort of thing, small business is the key to this. And there's just a couple of things I would want to talk about today. One is some of the tangible things my small business people are doing, and the other is back to this depression that's inside of us, because a lot of what they're able to do depends on their mental state. I talked with a fellow who runs a very large company the other day, who sees opportunity in healthcare and education. And somebody asked him how he handles the stress of all that's in his way these days. And he started out by saying, first and foremost, you come out of school, you have a thin skin. And over time, you better develop a thick skin. Second, you can't let the job eat you alive. You've got to have other things that you spend some time on. And finally, he said, when I walk in the door at night, I'm not the business owner, I'm not the CEO, I'm just dad. It restores my balance. And these kinds of things are really important.
And your humility, too, by the way.
Yes, well, there's a depression.
When you get back to just being dad, that's when your ego kind of takes a backseat.
Exactly. When my kids were 11 and 12, I warned them that I would soon get stupid and insensitive. And just to please let me know when it happens. And a year later, my son, younger son, was sitting at the dinner table, and he had this weird look on his face. And I said, what's going on? He said, it's happened. And yes, it makes you humble. But I'm quite serious. I've been watching the Vistage email traffic, and there's a lot of stuff about anxiety attacks and the depression inside of us. And in a small business, there's what I call parenting at work. Everybody's watching the owner, watching the chief executive to see how they're handling the stress, because they're all uncertain and worried too. So if the business owner isn't getting exercise, isn't getting enough sleep, doesn't have some private time with some sort of passion, isn't spending some time being thankful for what there is to be thankful
That's the biggie right there, Stephen. That's a huge one right there. And my audience has heard me say before that whenever I'm up against it, whenever I have wondered if I was going to make it the next hour, the only thing that got me through it without jumping out of my one-story window is to think about my kids and believe that they're okay. And if I didn't know that they were, I'd call them and see that they were okay. And once I found that out, I decided that everything else was just baloney.
Well,
just
put
things
guys
in perspective, find things to be thankful for.
Exactly. My guys, quite a few of them make a list every couple of weeks. What am I thankful for lately? Barbara Corcoran, who started the Corcoran Real Estate Group in New York and eventually sold out, made a lot of money, used to say, no pity parties. I don't go to pity parties. I make myself busy. I keep my people busy. I try to remind them of how great it is to be alive and to be employed. And I remind them of what to be thankful for, and I try to motivate them to keep going. And if I'm not in that condition, then it's going to affect them as well. Each of us has our own way of dealing with this. Some people spend 5 minutes in the morning meditating, just quiet, clearing the mind of all the negative chatter that goes on inside. But I can tell you that it's incredibly important right now during a period like this for the person in charge to spend time dealing with the depression inside.
What if we don't think we are depressed? But if we're having a tough time, if we got challenges with our business, we don't have enough sales, we're having to contemplate laying somebody off or something like that, we might not think we're depressed. And you and I are not trying to encourage people to move in that direction, of course. But there may be something in there that you aren't really realizing. If you've got some anxiety, if you're tensed up, if your shoulders are all knotted up, there may be something in there that you're not even aware of, and this is where you got to get your head clear, because as you're alluding to, Stephen, and as I've been saying a long time, most of the key to our success is not clearing things up in front of us, it's clearing things up between our ears.
Now I see this in the folks I work with. I see it in myself from day to day. The anxiety can be heavier or lighter on a given day, and the signs are there. If you're more often and more easily distracted, if you find you have less energy, if you're cutting back on doing things you enjoy, if you're having trouble sustaining focus, if you're feeling overwhelmed, any of those things, if you're suddenly visited with aches and pains that you haven't had before, it's time to look in the mirror.
Hold on to that thought, Stephen. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Right back with Stephen Baum. I told you we'd feel better and be smarter after Stephen joined us. Tintel, stay with us. Stand by me. Back. 7 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for staying with me. It's my pleasure, as always. Stephen Baum is our guest. He's the author of What Made Jack Welch Jack Welch. And he's also got an outstanding website, which I'm going to ask him to give us in a second. He's also a leader with the Vistage Group, the folks who put together these teams of CEOs who become their own board members, very confidentially work together to help each other become more successful. It's a wonderful model, folks, and it's all over the country. Stephen, tell us how we can find you online.
The website is Stephen H. Baum Leadership, Stephen with a PH, middle initial H, BAUM leadership.com. And it has
You got a blog too, don't you?
Well, the website has a blog on it, yes.
Right, okay.
I try to share as much as I can with people what I learned from working with the CEOs and from interviewing them on camera in front of the students at Pace University and in the other things I do with these business owners and chief executives.
Ladies and gentlemen, you want to check Stephen's website out. StephenHBaumLeadership.com, right?
That's right.
All right,
Thank you, folks, Jim.
Check that out. You'll find some good stuff there. And also, they can find your book there too, can't they?
That's right.
Stephen,
increasingly, by the way, Jim, videos of CEOs talking about stuff that matters, like reputation, trust, confidence, risk-taking, and that sort of thing. I'm starting to put short excerpts, 2 and 3 minute excerpts, of the CEO interviews on the site for people to get it directly from the horse's mouth.
Good for you. You know, folks, Stephen, you've been talking to the folks and me about what's between our ears. But you, in the time we have left, give us some things to our hands, some things that we can do with the information, the challenges in front of us. Give us some good tips.
Well, I'll tell you that the state of mind of the people I've been working with since the summer of 07 has gone through three or four rounds of what do we do now? And all the kinds of things you would think of in terms of making sure you know where the cash is and watching every penny and reducing the force, the staffing to the minimum level to operate at the capacity where you are, and outsourcing, and all the things that companies do, business owners do, to hunker down in bad times have been on the list now for months and months and months. And where they are now is they are changing their expectation of what the capacity has to be for the next two or three years. And they're actually reducing the capacity of the company. As one of my guys said, I carry around my 2005 P&L because I'm trying to go back to there on the cost basis.
Wow.
The plan for this year was $80 or $90 million in revenue. That's a pretty big small business. And we're now going to operate at 45 or 50. And we're not going to operate at 80 or 90 for quite a few years, so I better get used to that. I have a guy who's running a $30 million business that is suddenly a $20 million business, and he's no longer saying, I've got to keep all the things that are long-term investments. They're really looking at survival. And
I'm glad to hear you say that, and I'm not glad to hear you say that, but it's interesting that you say that, because, Stephen, back in December, I started talking to my audience about that very thing, and I worried that people would think that I wasn't being optimistic. I was being negative. I wasn't, being the pathological optimist that I usually am. When I started telling them about what I call the small business survival attitude, and here it is, I've encouraged people to look in the mirror in the morning, and look at themselves in the mirror and say, in 2009, I'm going to win by surviving.
That's absolutely right. And these are very tough choices. These are letting people go that they've known for decades. These are stopping projects they've invested a lot of money in because they know that they need to survive over the next two or three years, and that's enough of a victory. Now, doesn't mean there aren't some things to do on the upside. I'll give you a couple examples of that.
Yep.
One of the guys has an Internet-oriented business, a lot of the service deliveries on the Internet, and they service...
Right.
They service small businesses and medium-sized businesses.
Right. 30 seconds.
And they came back and they said, we can do this same thing for all the students out there. And since the education area is going to be more robust than others because of what's going on, we can start a business around one guy with very low cost and build it up to $1 million fairly shortly over the next year or two. So,
mm-hmm.
So in the middle of all of this, he started a small business inside the small business.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other guys has exported his software to companies in Germany that don't have the software in the healthcare area.
What I'm hearing you say, what I think is important, is how you did 2008 is not how you're going to do business in 2009. Never mind the volume level. Things are different, aren't they?
That's right. And it's very case-specific.
Stephen, thanks for being here. StephenHBaumLeadership.com is the website, folks. I hope you check that out. Stephen, thanks for being here. Come back. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be right back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.